I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the National Treasures Podcast, the podcast with me, Laura Lex, and him.
Will Duggan, that's still me.
That's still you, that's always you, babe. Where we go on days out and take you with us. This week we are chatting to the epically brilliant podcasting hero of comedy, Richard Herring. Hello, Richard.
Hello, that's a nice introduction.
Is it nice to be introduced? Because you host a podcast where you have to write loads of intros. So I was like, oh, it must be quite nice to be introduced.
Yeah, that is nice, yeah. Although I'm quite sarcastic about my guests and always pick their pick their least famous thing and pretend it's their most famous thing. So it was nice to get to, you know, something that was...
Yeah, I remember being on yours and you found this, like, student film I did about 10 years ago, filmed in a car park in Milton Keynes.
That's the kind of guy I am, yeah.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Well, from a personal note, I'm quite enjoying this intro because we're Zooming with Richard as well, and you're wearing your Me 1 vs Me 2 snooker T-shirt, but then
you moved
for tech issues before the record, there's a snooker table behind you. I was like, I feel like I'm seeing behind the wizard's curtain here. Bit of promo, bit of prop.
In my head then, for a second, wizard's curtain was a euphemism, but it's sleeve.
Wizard's sleeve, mate, yeah.
Sorry.
Is it bad? I've just been out to the shops wearing my a T-shirt with myself on it twice. In fact, it's Me 1 and Me 2 and my name, but it was underneath my coat, so I think it's all right. I think it's all right to wear your own merch.
Is it a Richard Herring Leicester Square Theatre podcast coat?
No, it's not. No,
that's fine. Then you're okay.
That's fine. Good. All right.
I'm wearing a T-shirt to show off. I finished my ultra marathon, so we're all wearing show-off clothes. Except Will, who just looks dashing in a striped T-shirt.
Just wearing a blue polo neck.
Thank you for sending us to Cheddar Gorge.
Oh, my pleasure. Did you enjoy it?
Well, we had a great time. So I grew up in a similar area to you. I grew up just down the road in Taunton.
That's right,
so
yeah.
I've been to Cheddar a million times as a kid, but I swear not a second of it felt familiar.
Right,
at all.
Okay.
It was bizarre. So you grew up in Cheddar, that's right, isn't it?
I did. I moved there when I was 8. So I was born in Yorkshire and lived in Leicestershire for a bit, and then after that, and then... my dad got a job as the headmaster of Kings of Wessex, which is the Cheddar Upper School. And so we all moved to Cheddar, and I went to that school, which I did a show called Headmaster's Son about, because he was my headmaster. And I worked at Cheddar Caves. That was sort of almost my first job.
Out
of university.
What did you do?
I was, you're sort of cave guide, but as probably is still the case, this was 1983 or 4, but they had commentaries around the caves rather than someone showing around the caves. My brother was a cave guide, and he was a little older than me, and he actually did guided tours of the cave, but sometime in the early 80s, they decided to move to their pre-recorded messages, which were actually terrible because you had to then stand in the cave to make sure people didn't break things, and just and then listen to these same 2-minute pieces over and over again. They moved you around. It was crazy. You weren't allowed to spend more than 2 hours down there, I think, and so you got loads of breaks. And I went in this little guide room, but it sort of drove you nuts. There was different. Like, I worked in Jacob's Ladder for a bit sometimes. Some people paid just to go, in those days you could pay just to go up Jacob's Ladder, so which was 50p. But hardly anyone ever did that. So if anyone came and paid to just go up Jacob's Ladder and I was on the cash desk, I would just keep the money and not give them a ticket. And I must have made £1.50 out of that little cheat, that lovely sweet scam. So,
but in 1983,
yeah, oh, absolutely,
15 Mars bars.
Yeah. Yeah. I think once I answered a woman's questions, I got another 50p. That's up to £2. I'm up to £2. I wasn't officially allowed to take tips, so that it was again illegal. She was so impressed by me answering two questions, she gave me 50p. So, which I did again illegally take from her.
Did I ever tell you, Laura, about when, just saying, people recognising Richard from doing the tour guiding, when someone came up to me in a bar and said, "Are you Will Duggan?" And I thought, here we go, it's finally happening. I said, "Yes, I am." And this man said, "The barman's looking for you. Apparently your card declined." Like, right.
Well, I had that same experience. And it then went on to be in Alan Partridge, that happens where someone comes to you, Alan Partridge, goes, you've dropped your credit card.
Yeah.
That happened to me. That when I was first on TV, I was sitting in the bar at the Riverside Studios, I think, and someone came and said, "Are you Rich Hang?" And I went, "Yeah. Here we go. Here it's beginning." And this, you dropped your credit card. And then Peter Bainham nicked that and put it on Alan Partridge.
Bastard.
Yeah.
I had a good one of those. I got into Brighton Station at 1 a.m. and somebody was like, "Fast asleep." You know, when you nudge them, you're like, "Oh, we're in now." Like, don't, for God's sake, stay on the train and end up back in London. And I woke him up and then I went into the station to wait for Tom to pick me up. And the guy came over and he was looking really groggy and he just went, "Are you off the telly?" And then he was like, "I was so confused when you woke me up. I couldn't work out if I was still asleep." And he sort of vaguely recognised me, but not enough to have a clue who I was. But it was just like, what is happening? It's like, why are you in Brighton at 1 a.m? I was like, well, this is the reality of being a comedian that you've barely heard of.
I once, tell you, a really surreal one of those. I was on a bus in Manchester when I did live in Manchester. And someone came up to me and said, "Are you a comedian?" And I was barely an open spot at the point, and I thought, the stories are true. Yes, I am. And she went, like, "Were you at the Frog and Bucket last Thursday?" And I said, "Yes, I was," because I had been. And then she shouted at me for hitting on her friend, taking her friend home and never calling her again. But it wasn't me. It was Dan Nightingale. But this is a very common face in comedy.
Yeah.
So the fact that I was a comedian, I had been at that gig, my protestations at being this exact comedian went unfounded. And I got told off on a bus for about 35 minutes for not being Dan Nightingale.
Yeah,
and
I let that happen. To be fair, you know, if you say that, if one comedian's done something wrong, just have a go at another one. They'll probably have done that as well.
You've done stuff wrong that you didn't get told off for over the years.
Yes, and I got away with it. Don't ruin it for me.
It all evens out.
So, back to Cheddar Gorge.
Yes, of course.
When was the last time you went?
It's quite a while. Because obviously it actually closed down. I wanted to send you there and I thought it wasn't back open again, but it's literally just open. It closed down during COVID, but it's been having a few bad years. And the people, my contacts at Cheddar Caves, were emailing me saying they thought that was it. It wasn't going to open up again. So I'm delighted that it has opened up again. I must have taken Katie at some point, but I think very early in our relationship when
that's how you woo a girl.
Yeah, you take them just to check they're okay. There's something you need to know. I come from a town that has some mediocre caves in it, and you have to see them.
Oh, I'd say better than mediocre.
I suppose what I'm asking is, have you been since they changed? Was it Cox's Cave? One full of videos?
They've changed it so many times. So, like, when I was there, I know all the history of this because I've tried to write several dramas about Cheddar Caves, including a historical one, including a kind of an 80s one, and including one now. It's an idea that I've come back to and had been commissioned to write and had rejected three or four times. But that Cox's Cave, there's a bit at the end that was originally Pavey's Cave. There was this eccentric character in Cheddar who I love called Roland Pavey, who used to do water divining and thought he could fly, thought you have invisible wings. He was trying to learn how to fly, like your angel wings are there. And he tried to find a cave with dynamite, which is how quite a few of them were found, but didn't succeed. But in the end, it had blown up a big enough hole to open a cave. So that the bit at the end of Cox's cave is Pavey's cave, which is just an exploded thing, which then eventually they blew, they created, most of it's just created tunnels. And there's a lot of, again, having looked into it, but there's a lot of jiggery pokery about what's real and what's been moved about, and most of the tunnels are man-made, right? So that to get you from place to place. So the tunnel that leads down into whatever this is now is man-made. And when I was there, it was just like there was one of those static, you know, those balls you put your hand on and static electricity flies around.
Oh, I love them!
Yeah,
like an oscilloscope. So that,
Van de Graaff generator.
Yeah, it's sort of that. It's sort of that thing. So there's a few things like that, and then it turned into, I think the last time I went, it was like a Lord of the Rings without being Lord of the Rings style adventure. Wow. That you went through. Is that what it is now, or has it moved
Richard,
on from that?
Let us tell you what it is now. It is, and I want to go on record as being someone who'd never been to Cheddar before and had a lovely time. Cox's Cave was the biggest pile of wank I've ever been to in my life. It's almost like it starts off with being the evolution of man from Australopithecus up to Homo sapien.
Then are you throwing in the word Australopithecus?
I've got an archaeology degree, Laura. I know what I'm on about.
You bloody love the Dark Ages.
It's not the Dark... You know what you're doing, and I won't rise to it. But then suddenly you turn about three or four corners and it becomes about the fight between wolf and man. And it's just... It's very weird. Like, all the wolves in it are almost stylized Disney villains, like their eyes glow red with their satanic lusts. I think it's just a hungry dog, mate, let him eat. And then by the end you're in what will be, I imagine, is Pavey's cave, being almost like chamber, and it's, I mean, borderline racist African tribe-esque music with these stick men you've been following around dancing, being like, the one thing that unites us is the will of the human spirit. It was unbelievable.
Well, you know, in the old days, you would pay for each exhibition. There was a ticket to go and see everything, but you were allowed to pay to see things individually. So people would ask, where should you go? And if you were going to one, you probably should go to Gough's. But Cox's did have some lovely stalactites and stalagmites and that sort of stuff in it. But yeah, they've always struggled to make that extra bit work. I don't know why, which is a shame, because if you're paying to see everything, which you do now, you might as well just say, okay, well, go and have a look at this little cave and enjoy it and then move on.
I kind of loved that they'd gone down a different route with it, because we had such a good time in Gough's cave that then I think if they'd just left Cox's as a sort of little nuggety cave, it would have been a disappointment afterwards.
Right.
So the fact that I laughed my head off all the way round at this like breathy voice telling me to find the inner wolf inside me was really lovely. I really enjoyed myself. Because we went to Wookiee Hole last series, so you can't help but compare the two.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And it feels like both of the two are very much trying to compete with a world that maybe isn't as interested in caves as it should be.
But Cheddar has so many great things, and like the, you know, I guess where this display is coming from is the fact that they found Cheddar Man is there, who's a very notable archaeological find. Now, I think you can see a copy of in the museum, if that's still there. I don't know if the museum's still
there. It's in the cave. It's in Gough's cave.
They should do a documentary called Searching for Cheddar Man.
Oh, is it now?
So it's where there's a copy where they found the original.
Right, okay.
Oh, yeah, because I thought it was real.
Laura thought it was the real Cheddar Man.
But they found also, there's a fantastic Alfred jewel as well that was found nearby. So there's loads of great archaeology. There's a little thing with a picture of King Alfred on it, I think, or like something that might have been ceremonial for King Alfred. And there's loads of a great caveman finds there as well. And the Cheddar Man has been in the news a lot. Alice Roberts writes about him in one of her recent books. He's related to, they did a DNA test, and my history teacher was a direct relative of Cheddar Man on the female side through his mitochondria. So he's got these great stories. So I don't think they need to try so hard to do all the, you know, they've just, they try a bit harder stuff. Then I think they, you know, there's so, and the history of how they were found, and the way they were, and the way that there's a Stephen Fry thing about the Edwardians and the Victorians. I can't remember which one. It's probably in the Victorian one where they talk about the competing you know, sales patter at Cheddar Station, which there used to be a railway station there, as people would try and persuade you to come to Cox's or Gough's or wherever. And so there was, you know, I think this fascinating... Cheddar Gorge is fantastic and beautiful, but all the really beautiful stuff is much further up than the cave. So a lot of people come to the Cheddar Gorge, you go as far as Gough's Cave, and you might see the beginnings of some cliffs and stuff, but the actual, if you go further up, it's like breathtaking, you know. So it's sort of weird the way Cheddar is focused around these, you know, this, it has changed. I've been up there, you know, I've been up the gorge a few times recently, and it's definitely changing. And the last time we went, the caves weren't open, so we took the kids to watch the cheese being made and stuff like that. So there is things to do up there, it feels.
You didn't march them up Jacob's Ladder, did you?
I did. They're a bit too young, but I had to go up every day, and when I worked there, you had to run up the stairs. Well, you know, I did run up, you didn't have to run up, and then unlock the tower and then run down again and open the vault and then go up at the end and lock it again. So it kept you pretty fit.
Yeah.
There's a secret way up the back, so you don't have to pay. You can get up onto the top of the Mendips without paying to go up those stairs, and it's not quite as steep a climb either. So, you know, unless you really want to go up loads of steps, you don't have to.
Well done to all of us for the maturity there, for no one laughing at there's a secret way up the back of the gorge. Well done, everyone.
If you were a caveman, would you want to be a hunter or a gatherer?
Oh, good question. I mean, I would love to be a hunter just because that sounds like more fun, but I don't think I'd be very good at it. I'm sort of a bit better at that. I don't think I could throw a spear and kill an animal. And I don't know, did they have bows and arrows in those days? Probably not.
They did.
Did they?
They also had the wheel.
They did have a wheel, but that's not much good for catching a yak.
Laura and I discuss, we do a Patreon-only podcast where we do deep dives on years, and sometimes Laura will have to stop and ask, have we invented the wheel by this point?
Okay.
And we're talking like 1250. It's like, yeah, the Romans have gone, Laura. We've got the wheel.
History confuses me. I refuse to accept that the Romans came before the Vikings. That
you
just
can't
feels
refuse to accept that. That's
bananas.
Just
bananas. Like, this is my slippery slope into anti-vax flat earthing that I just think you're wrong if you think the Romans came first. I feel like it was like Romans, Victorians, us.
Yeah, like, there's no way to prove you're wrong, because, you know, the experts say that the evidence shows that, but, you know, what
we're
experts
sick of
know.
Experts, Richard.
We're sick of experts, and that makes more sense to me as well. Because the Romans are better than the Vikings, right? So they must come after the Vikings.
The Romans must have been in Cheddar, because they were all over the West Country, weren't they? Bath and Wells and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of copper mining, tin mining around the top of the gorge, again, up where the good point is, and lead mining and stuff. So,
would you rather be a stalagmite or a stalactite?
Oh, that's a good question. Very good question. I feel like the stalactites do most of the work, right? The stalagmites just take the glory. They're at the bottom waiting for the drip to come down, and the stalactites are the drip. They're the place the drip is coming from. So it feels like if either of them are the creative one, it's the stalactite dripping down, and the stalagmite is taking the glory by just being splashed on and then creating often a better thing at the bottom than the top, to be
You're
fair.
Just so talking I think, euphemisms.
I think I'd rather be a stalactite. You can't really fail with stalactites and stalagmites. That's the most euphemistic
piece
of stone.
You've chosen to be the busy one. You like
the stalactites own the means of production, Laura.
The creative one, I would say. I want to be the creative one. If it is a penis, I like to imagine the sperm is dropping out of my penis and impregnating the stone beneath me. It's
the
sexier of the two.
Are holding on to all the penis, just hoarding it like a dragon, just building and building.
It's like the masculine one, and the stalagmite is the feminine taking the seed and growing a baby
and turning That's it right. into something wonderful.
What kind of penis did you like, Laura?
Oh, one that worked.
Okay.
One that worked, like, and not over the process of thousands of years of dripping.
Yeah, although that really is my experience with fertility, is that it does take thousands of years.
True.
So. Maybe I'm a stalagmite. When you took your kids to Cheddar Gorge, did they love it or were they a bit ambivalent? How did you feel watching your next generation experience it?
Yeah, well, they haven't. I don't think they've been in the caves. If they have, if Phoebe's been in, it's only been as a baby. So they've only been up to see the stuff. So they played mini golf, which was, it was quite, you know, just putting, but it was quite busy and it was quite a horrendous experience of just waiting, you know, queuing. And then, well, just because the kids weren't very good at golf, and then you're aware there's three families behind you and there's three families in front of you, and it was just not enjoyable. But I think they quite enjoyed that. Did they like watching the cheese being made? Not really. And there wasn't much. We had a nice pizza. There's a very good new. There's some nice new stuff up there. There's some very good restaurants in Cheddar Gorge, which there used to be a nice Cantonese, which I think is still there, but that's where we mainly went as kids. There was a Cantonese takeaway, and we'd have mainly chips from there, I think, to be fair. But and there was a good fish and chip shop. But now there's an Indian restaurant, and there's a very good Italian restaurant, which used to be the ice cream shop, just on the, that goes on the sort of where the river's coming down, and sort of about halfway up, that I would highly recommend. I can't remember what it's called, but we've been there a few times. The kids like that, because they get pizza and ice cream. But yeah, they've been a bit, they haven't really, I haven't yet had a chance to bore them like my dad used to bore me with every time you'd go back to where he grew up in Middlesbrough, and every time we would go back and tell the same stories as we drove past landmarks where things happened in his life. I haven't yet told them about the 50p's in Jacob's.
We've got the inside scoop, Laura.
Yeah. They're going to listen.
Basically, like Richard's first children now.
Let's get Herring cancelled, the thief.
But the manager of Cheddar Caves at the time, there was a manager and deputy manager in a relationship, but I'm not sure. When I wrote the sitcom, I thought that I think I imagined this, that they were pretending not to be in a relationship. I think in reality that everyone knew their relationship. But there was an older woman who was the manager and a kind of younger, very tall, slightly trendy guy who was the deputy manager. And they were sacked because during lunch at time, the manager would take over the booth to give the lady on the booth selling tickets some time off, and then she would get out the tickets from last year, the group tickets from last year, and sell those for an hour and then pocket all the money. So it wasn't showing up on any of the records. But again, I mean, really, she must have made maybe 20 or 30 pounds a lunchtime, you know, because she'd have had to put a few through anyway, and it wasn't like, that's not a very busy time, and it's not a great, you know, and so she was caught and sacked as the manager. But that's, I just sort of was fascinated that someone, I don't suppose she was being paid loads, but that someone was prepared to kind of give up their job in order to do the same thing I was doing on a smaller scale.
Quite fitting, though, that people are still like being sneaky and shysters in a place that was sort of built by, you know, I think it was an uncle and nephew dynasty, and there was
in
like
the
dad
certainly.
And three sons, wasn't it? Because they killed their mule because they loved the cave so much. So it sort of feels...
You've misremembered that quite badly.
They were very... haven't. They loved the cave and they said they loved the mule,
loved
but they
the
still
mule.
Worked it to death.
But they were very sad when it died.
Yeah, but they worked it to death. You can't claim to be sad after you've murdered something.
The hamster's still hanging on as well.
Oh, that's good.
God, no, it's not.
Will's got a bored, sick little hamster.
She just needs to die, Richard. Like, we've had it, you know. But just get rid. Sorry to interrupt the flow, but that bloody hamster, she stinks.
Yeah. I'm picturing your sitcom being played by the cast of Ghosts.
Yeah, that could work. That could work. It was, you know, it's been a while since. I mean, it's coming round. When you've been in the business as long as I have, that, you know, enough people change that every 10 years you can go and pitch the same things again. So I think we're coming round to me pitching the Cheddar Caves idea again at some point.
Would you like to add me and Will to it?
Yeah, you can
say,
Laura.
Grease the wheels.
Before Matthew Bainton and Lolly Adafopi get some more work, maybe we'll try and get us a little part.
So they might be good.
I'll tell you who needs some acting jobs. The cast of Ghosts.
They're so good, Will. They're one of the few people in comedy I don't feel blood-boilingly jealous of every time they do something.
They are good. I can
actually enjoy it.
And they're wonderful. And I enjoyed Yonderland. I thought the Bill film was actually better than it was received. But also, if we're talking to the creator of a sitcom, maybe pitch us before anyone else.
All right, Will, what character are you playing?
that tall, willowy, nice one. I've got the Jim Richard, I don't mind.
The trendy one. The trendy. You could be the trendy guy. I would really love, you know, I always want, I think Cheddar's a great setting for something.
Yeah.
And I would, and also it's slightly in the doldrums. And I would love to just write a drama or comedy that just got people, you know, really going back there, you know, and just, or just put it back on the map, or even just brought the film industry to Cheddar, you know, for 6 months of the year to film something. So out of everything I've done, it would be the thing I'd most like to get done, just so that I could go back home and people go, oh, thanks, Rich, for remembering Cheddar. But, you know, it's sort of a funny place, you know, Cheddar's a funny place to grow up. It's like, you know, wherever you mention the world, people will know it's a cheese, and so that's funny. And having the name Herring is a sort of comedy thing to grow up with as well. So I'm not sure how much my comic sensibility comes out of, you know, growing up in a place called Cheddar that sort of is, you know, slightly, it's a great place, but it's a slightly comic place as a result of all of these things.
It was something that I don't know if it's my ignorance, but I genuinely didn't realise that cheddar cheese came from Cheddar Gorge until we went last week. I'm 35. I thought it was just a case of homonyms or whatever, just same names. Because if you go to Melton Mowbray or Stilton, they never shut up about it. Do you know, like, I just thought, and then when I arrived, I thought, oh my God, this is where the cheese is from. Maybe they need to make a bit more song and dance about it.
I think you're right that it isn't, though. I think it's named after the town, but I don't think it was ever really made in the town. But there's someone now who makes it in the town to say we're the only place that makes it. So it was never like, this is where all cheddar is made. I think there was definitely, they made it. It used to be stored in the caves and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
they still do.
It was made there, but I don't think it was a big, I may be wrong about that, and if I am, I'm very sorry, Cheddar. But as my understanding of it is that it was just named after Cheddar, and then Cheddar have, not surprisingly, kind of grabbed onto that a little bit. But it started in Cheddar. I don't know.
It's interesting that you feel so much affection for Cheddar, because obviously, if you grew up, you know, 8 years in Yorkshire, do you have projects from the other places you lived, or did Cheddar sort of sneak into your heart in a different way?
I think it's, you know, the early years, because I was four when I left Yorkshire, in fact, so I lived in Leicestershire, so I was 0-4 in Yorkshire, which I still support York City Football Club, who've done well this season for the first time in a long time and have been promoted from a terrible division to a slightly less terrible division. and I still see myself as a Yorkshireman as a result of being born in Yorkshire. Then but most of my memories are from Leicester, Loughborough, where I lived for 4 years, which we're from the age of 4 to 8. But then, you know, I think 8 to 18 is such a sort of formative time comparatively. So even, you know, my daughter's now 7, so she, you know, thinking, oh, well, you know, I was a year older than when we moved to Cheddar. That, you know, most of the stuff that happens before you're 8, you don't really. I've got memories from Loughborough, and I've got very few memories from Yorkshire, but, you know, obviously most of the things that happened to me happened in Cheddar. And it was a very idyllic and lovely, despite my dad being my headmaster for a good part of it, it was a very lovely, innocent childhood, you know, and I think it was still, I mean, there were bad things in Cheddar, and there was quite a lot of drugs, I think, latterly towards the end, not that they ever came near me, and not that, you know, and most people in the countryside, when they're 14, start having sex with each other because there's nothing else to do. But I didn't. No one was interested in having sex with me while I was in Cheddar. It was an idyllic childhood that it lasted as long as I was there. My parents are still there, and I still go back regularly, you know, to see my parents. I think that's the place that I have most affection for. You know, Pocklington, where I was born, I've been back to do a gig in, but I don't remember it. You know, so that's a sort of weird place to go, because you think, oh, you know, do I remember this? I was four when I left. There's that clock tower, there's that looming somewhere in my memory, and Loughborough, you go back, and that's exactly the same as it was in the 1970s.
I'm quite near Loughborough now.
Right,
and I drove through it the other day, and I thought, I've not been here since about 1997, and nothing's changed. Pocklington, I think the greatest stand-up gig I ever did was at the Pocklington Arts Centre.
It's a nice venue.
It was such a lovely, like a Christmas gig. Really nice.
Well, shall we present Richard with some TripAdvisor reviews of Cheddar Gorge?
Yeah,
we like to have a little look through TripAdvisor, and because we are low-hanging fruit people, we're not interested in the good ones. But we must say, there are nearly 4,000 reviews of Cheddar Gorge on TripAdvisor. So 3,800. 3,000 of those 3,800 are 5 or 4.
Oh, that's good. That's
and good. I've amalgamed...
And 2,500 of those are Richard.
Yeah, so I've sort of amalgamed loads of them into one, like, typical review of Cheddar Gorge.
Okay.
Came here lots as a child. I love it. It's so beautiful. £20 is quite a lot for a ticket, but you can see everything, a full day's worth of stuff. Gough's Cage is such a natural wonder. It is amazing. Cox's Cave was linked more to the prehistoric museum, as depicts the evolution of early man, which, as we discussed, it does for a bit, and then it goes batshit crazy. The gorge itself is also so pretty. I love the town too with the shops. They're all touristy, but not too tacky. Parking can be a bit of a nightmare, but if you arrive earlier, it's easier. That's basically the average review of Cheddar Gorge.
However, that is accurate to my summation.
Yeah. However, loads of absolute nutters go to visit. This one is one of my favourite ones because it is so close to... Have you seen on Twitter that, like, conservatives getting owned?
Yeah.
It's like people are so close to realising that they're wrong, but without that final leap. Like, what? Hey, if someone in McDonald's should earn $15 an hour, so should a nurse. Like, yeah, everyone should earn good money. You're so close to it. This one's amazing. Do not pre-book online. We could not find parking anywhere, and we went at Easter bank holiday. Even when we headed further afield, the cars were queued up waiting for spaces, some families leaving the drivers who was unable to visit. Pre-booked means nothing with the car park, which I know is a different company. Yep. The car parks are so full that if you parked on the side streets, the restrictions... the residents would be unable to park. But don't worry, they've sorted that because it's all permit parking. Yeah, because these people live there. I'll be honest with you, you need to remember that this is a large village rather than a town. I will say, though, I've been before off-peak and it's been absolutely fine.
I would also say to people having trouble to park, if you head up towards Fairland School, all the roads around there had just free parking, and that's where I went when we went up, I think, at Easter. Or maybe it was the August. It was August the last time we went, and there was nowhere to park. We dropped everyone off, and it's about a 10 minute walk. You just have to walk through some
streets. Insider information.
So that's the way it should go.
Yeah, but I love that guy being like, we booked for a different company. That didn't help us. Also, I've been before when it's not so famously busy and that was fine. Next one, I didn't get any further than Googling the price. By the time I'd worked out how much it would cost for two adults, brackets, both pensioners, and our grandson, then in brackets, who has learning difficulties, you might as well kiss half our pensions goodbye. I don't think so, because it's 20 quid each max anyway. And then this one from a person who seems to love Cheddar Gorge, but will not stop until it shuts.
I love that sort of person that loves it so much they want it to be perfect and doesn't realise they're killing it in the... Yeah. It's like my mother's approach to raising me.
I know full well that I've rated this terrible, but it is only because it is so sad to see how the lovely place is dying on its feet.
Oh,
the main attraction has closed. By the way, this review was written during the lockdown. And a lot of the outlets, those that are open, have got sales on. The only thing I can say is try and support a business if you visit by purchasing something. And he's thought, how can I help? I'll probably leave him a one-star review on the internet. And I'll definitely do them a favour.
I don't understand what the point of that one is. Like, in an airborne pandemic, they have closed a cave with, like, bad air at the best of times. And I'm mad about that.
Yeah. Then 3 stars. This person, again, so close. Jacob's Ladder is hard to climb. We were so tired by the time we got to the top, we turned around and went home.
I mean, to be fair, that is kind of how I felt by the time I got to the top. Will made me go up the tower, and honestly, I just wanted to die. But we did make it up, and then we had to go back down and have a sandwich.
It's a, you know, it's furious. Not. You get some nice views at the top, but you can, like you say, you can get up on the cliffs. You don't have to quite easily. Do they still do the bus? Is the bus part of it? Is it really only 20 quid? I think that's a phenomenal value if it is 20 quid. I would have thought it'd be. Because there is a lot
of
stuff
value,
there.
It's great value, isn't it?
Yeah, there's an open-top bus that wasn't there when I was there. There's an open-top bus that takes you up. You can go up the gorge and with a commentary. I don't know if that's still there, but that was there for a little while. And, you know, you don't have to go up Jacob's Ladder. There used to be a museum, but there's no museum now. There's a Costa there now instead. So maybe it's not quite as good as for good value as it was. But £20 seems... You know, I've been to...
Cave is big, isn't it? Yeah. And, like, I can't remember what cavern it was, but that cathedral one.
Yeah, the St. Paul's Cathedral.
Oh, the cathedral's amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
That was in Goff's Cave.
That was worth the ticket price alone of stand there and go, I can't believe this is here.
Is it called Striation on the Wall? Is that what it's called?
I can't remember that.
So basically, it's sort of like, it's like a stalactite and a stalagmite, but against the wall. So it's just coursing water. But it couldn't have looked more like an organ pipe.
Mm. Yeah.
And I know that we are lucky to be in a position where we can afford to go in and pay that money. But for 20 quid for a day, because we were there hours and we did less than half of what we could have done. We had to go because we live miles away. But it was unbelievable. Then the final one, this one, it's actually a 4-star review.
Oh.
But it's,
oh, is
it's
it a just, bit shady, though?
It's just so NIMBYist. Like, the guy hates... The company, he'd have hated you, Richard, with your 50p stealing. Because the whole point of his review is, firstly, and probably most importantly, you do not have to pay to go up Jacob's Ladder or do the Gorge Top Walk. These are public rights of access. They put turnstiles conveniently near the bottom to make it look like you can pay in. If anyone tries to stop you, assert your rights and go up. Like, mate, just calm down.
Wow.
It's not a very interesting thing to read, but the fact that he's like anonymous for English Heritage really made me laugh. But yeah, like I say, overall, the average one, it's lovely. And I think we'd agree with that. We had a great time tonight.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you very much for sending us. We had
a lovely
day.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you did.
Thank you so much.
Now, we have a weird point on this podcast where we now sort of say, is there anything you'd like to plug, knowing full well our listenership is much smaller than any other outlet you have? So is there anything you'd like to plug to a small but feisty group of people?
Who've definitely also heard it.
Yeah.
I do a podcast called Rich Lang's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast, around Leicester, but it's called now because I do it in other places.
It's probably how you heard of this one.
And I am doing and running Edinburgh from the 3rd to the 14th at 1 p.m. Where I've got some good names already. Janine Garofalo's doing it, and Ed Gamble and Tim Key. So there's lots of good names already. And we're doing another run in London. I've got a book coming out in October called Can I Have My Ball Back, which is about my recent run-in with testicular cancer. But it's pretty funny. It's a pretty funny book. So do buy that.
That's so exciting. Thank you so much for sending us, and thank you for chatting with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And also, if this is your first time being aware of Cornerstone of British Comedy, Richard Herring, on the Strange Podcast, do check out his body of work. He's done some great stuff.
He's been busy. He's not slacking off. What a lovely chat that was. Thank you so much to Richard Herring for joining us for that. Isn't he nice, William?
He's a nice man, a funny man, and I just like him a lot, actually, Laura.
Yeah. And thank you for listening, listeners. Now, it's over to you as to what we get up to for the next 2 weeks. Last month, we covered Concord, boo, and Pin-Up Girls. Yay!
Naughty, that, isn't it? That's naughty, that, Laura.
Why?
Because for the listener, we're recording this before we've recorded the Pin-Up episode, so Laura has then told you you've enjoyed it, which puts the pressure on the record.
Yeah. Well, you got the better subject, so you better have made it good. I had to research Concord. Fucking woof. Anyway, so what do you want us to research and tell each other about for the next 2 weeks? Your options are stalagmites and tights. We can find out about famous ones across the world. Good ones, bad ones. What are they?
We've got bats and wolves. Just bats and wolves.
Just, they're great, aren't they? Bats and wolves. We've also got Victorian-era animals, as inspired by the dead donkey. Do you want us to have a look at animals in the Victorian era?
And we've also got, due to that terrible cave with its also attraction, gimmicky attractions around the world. Laura and I would discuss some awful things that you could go and do.
Yeah.
As bad as that cave.
So we'll put a poll up on Twitter, but also you can comment on Instagram, on our... do we have a Facebook, Will?
We don't have a Facebook. It's a dying medium.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're on Instagram and Twitter, so let us know there or drop us an email if you want to do it privately. Get your vote in as to what you want us to talk about, and we will do it. We are at Treasures Pod on social medias, or email us treasures... National Treasures Podcast at gmail.com.
Lovely. And if you want to discuss what you're going to talk about with other like-minded people, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/national treasures, where you sign up for £5 a month, get all our bonus stuff, and that gives you access to the Discord, which is frankly the favourite Discord that I'm in.
Yeah. And you get like 2 years of a weekly podcast of years and years, don't you?
Yeah, you get all the back stuff as well,
forever.
Of course.
So, yeah, join us on Patreon. And also, we love you, and we'll see you next week. Love you, bye!
Bye!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.